Good evening, everyone. This is Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and this is the Healthy Healing Call. Thank you for being here. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. This is Wonder Ann from Spartanburg, and we're here to help you start looking at what it is you're really doing right and maybe what you're really doing wrong. Remember, nothing is wrong unless it affects you. So if everybody, I don't know how many of you are on here, but it would be nice to know where are you in your belief you can heal yourself, or at least you're more knowledgeable than you give yourself credit. So if you want to speak up, do speak up. I'd like to hear what you've done for some kind of an illness you've done, or where you got your information. So it's a sharing. This is common unity. Our health is very important to us. So we're uniting our thoughts as well as fighting the American Murderers Association. So anybody want to step forward and say what they what they're doing? I'd love to hear you. Say your state and your first name, please. You don't all have to speak at once, so it's all right. You can speak one at a time. Are they unmuted, Robert? If you're muted, stay star six, I believe it is. Okay, that doesn't seem to be working either. Hello, anybody out there? Robert, is anybody out there?
We don't have many here.
Okay, can they be unmuted so that they can participate?
Oh, yeah.
If you're on the line, just say hi. You know, and tell me what you're doing to make yourself healthy, or what do you want to learn to make yourself healthy. We got to know where you are to go forward. I yield. Speak up. Okay, I'll just go forward and talk about different ways. Maybe you, is that someone wanted to talk?
That okay. Sounds good. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things about really getting the attitude about thinking I've got to be responsible for my health is your basic stuff. What time you go to bed, what time you get up, what kind of food you're eating, what kind of water you're drinking, while the air is difficult to control, but there in your house you can do something about. You're outside, they're polluting with their chemtrails. I hope you're aware of that. However, if you're eating poorly, to begin with, our food is poor. GMOs are depleting your energy. They are actually stealing your energy because they're malnutrition in you. So what kind of food are you eating? Are you really looking at the labels to see what's in there? And if the food says, well, none of the food is going to be labeled, this is GMO food. But if it's saying non-GMO food, you have a little bit more credibility that that might be a little bit more nutritional for you. None of us can say that is the total truth because we don't have their records, and none of us ever probably will. It is up to you, and I brought that up last week. It's that terrible long word, the ability to respond, responsibility. Both directions of that word are very important in your well-being. Because if you do not take responsibility for your health and ably respond to your medical practitioner, they will walk all over you. Absolutely walk all over you. Because all of these young men and women, and my granddaughter's going into that field, I am shaking in my boots. But the issue here is they are taught how to give out medicine. A gentleman I know here in Spartanburg, his father, I'm going to say, is probably early 60s, and he went in with a stomach problem. He went into the emergency room with a terrific stomach problem. They sent him home and told him he had gas. Now, the gentleman believed him. However, the next day his appendix burst. So who's wrong? The gentleman for accepting their diagnosis or for the doctor sending him home with the wrong diagnosis? That's a very dangerous medical mistake. Many people have died from bursted appendix. So it behooves you to know your body. I was at work one day, back when I lived in L.A., and I was having a terrific stomach problem. I tried tea. I tried soup. I tried warm things to relieve the stomach ache I was having. And I had a date with a gentleman who had told me that when he was 18, he had his appendix burst and an 80-year-old gentleman appendix burst, and he passed away and this 18-year-old kid lived, because I was talking to him and he was well into his 60s. The difference in our body is very important. This gentleman could have died. So it behooves you to be really more aware of what is going on in your own body and take that responsibility. He was fortunate. He was young enough still and fairly good health to have withstood such an attack as a bursted appendix. Mine didn't burst because I kept asking questions, and we went in and the hospital said eventually, after many tests and many x-rays, yes, I was about to have a bursted appendix. They operated on him the next morning and I was fine. So it is you that really is or are responsible for what you're doing. Even a toothache can mean something else is wrong in your body. The tooth is the one giving you the signals, while it's something else in your body that's poisoning that tooth to make it do something. Our body is a balanced mechanism. It is a most fabulous piece of machinery that has ever been invented by one guy. I'm not going to go into a religious thing. It's up to you. But the person who's calling this body theirs is responsible for that body. And that body needs to be kept well. So how can you keep it well when they're feeding you low nutritional food, bad water with too much fluoride in it, all these different chemicals that are coming from the air? What's a body to do? What's a man or a woman to do? Come on, people, what are you going to do? Speak up. Give me an idea. Okay. With the ideas that I've learned over the year is because I've asked questions. And I really encourage you to ask questions and to say, if this is bothering me, why is that? If this over here on one side of my body is bothering me and yet I have the sore on the other side, what's going on here? Our body is a balance mechanism. If you have a distraction going on, please mute yourself so that you can mute back in with star six, because we do want you to join in to the program here. It's your program. That's what's so valuable. It is your program, and we want you to learn from it. I sometimes don't like to hear myself talk because I talk too much. So I'd like to hear what you've got to say as well during this program. Whoa, I guess that was a little shut off.
Well,
okay, gang. Are we okay?
I got a short comment. May not be relevant because I've been.
Oh, go ahead, Jan.
This is Pennsylvania Jan. I was just sitting here and running between the stove and the computer, grabbing my bite of supper.
Right.
I started out with my homegrown tomatoes with mozzarella on them and a little garlic and basil. Now I'm into my homegrown broccoli, and I got my homegrown green beans over there next. So I can't be paying too much attention to you this evening. I'm sorry. I'm enjoying my meal, okay?
That is a star quality answer. Listen to that long word he said, homegrown. Homegrown. That is so cool, Jan. I'm so proud of you. But I've always been proud of you. You're a cool dude. And
he has to tease us.
Yeah, I know, but he's right. It's important. This just this past spring, I planted six dwarf trees, fruit trees, by my front door. Why did I put them by my front door? Because I'm lazy. I didn't want to walk to the back of the property. It's a long walk carrying water. So I put them right by my front door so I can easily water them and keep track of them and talk to them. I bet you, Jan, when you get that food chewed in your mouth enough times and you get to speak again, you talk to your plant. I bet he does.
Right? How did you know?
Because
I've been doing that for years.
The kind of guy you are, Jan.
Yep. One comment about your pear trees. I find that I have trouble with my pears because last year I looked out and there was a black bear helping himself to my pears. As soon as they got ripe, he was in there harvesting them for me. So I got but not that many.
He got the tall ones, right?
Yep.
Well, my dwarfs are only going to go about 6 feet. So they're fine for plucking for humans. And fortunately, Jan, I do not have bears here. I have squirrels and birds and cats, and they'll help themselves, but...
Yeah.
I love it. You had a bear helping you prune the trees. That's nature.
Yep.
That is nature. Super. Is anybody else growing something? I did what was that kind of garden we did a couple of years ago, Jan, where you dug a big hole and you put the wood down in? I want to say a flugel hill. Something sounds like that, where it was a wonderful churning of the vegetation. And I got really nice vegetation. I mean, I got some tomatoes out of it, and I got some beans, but it was in this little area by the front door. And that's where I planted those trees, because I didn't want to walk too far.
Right.
Part of my problem.
Well, the only thing I can say that's good is I'm sitting here enjoying a nice glass of water with apple cider vinegar in it.
Excellent. And how many, Jan, I know you use apple cider vinegar also. I use it too. It's good. There's a fellow out in Oregon that he always takes his apple cider vinegar in the morning also. But what I've used apple cider vinegar is for the mosquito bites, for your coughing if your lungs are congested. You use it for a tablespoon of honey and a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar and an 8-ounce glass of water. And just sip that. Continue to fill it up all through the day so that you're always replenishing those bronchioles in your lungs. That's what this stuff in the air is doing to your lungs. I was having a hard time this morning with getting that congestion out. So I said, I have got to make myself an apple cider vinegar concoction so I can have it through the day. And that's what you do with yourself. You constantly are... What was that old line we all learned about a long time ago? If your car is making a noise, or this is at least what my mechanic brother said, your car's making a noise, listen to where it's from, and then tell the mechanic. Look, I don't know if someone's practicing karate or something that sounded like it, but it is the fact that your body is your car, and you need to listen to what it's telling you and ask it, what is it you're attempting to tell me? It will tell you. You're in communication with your body at all times. Mine tells me all the time. It's the one that told me that I had neuropathy in my feet. I said, okay, I got to look up. What's neuropathy? What's the cause? What does it do? How can I make it better? And that's what I work on, making it better. And I do. And I found that neuropathy is connected with diabetes. I don't have, quote-unquote, doctor-named diabetes, but I like my sugar. It's not good that I have that, but I have to deal with it. I don't want their medication. So you and I, individually, are responsible for how we feel. So we've got Jan doing a garden. We've got Robert keeping apple cider vinegar and Jan also and myself. What is something else that you that are listening have done or are doing to keep yourself healthy?
I need to fess up here, Wonder Ann. I don't do the apple cider vinegar. My wife does it for me, so I don't have to, okay?
Oh.
I found out years ago when I was traveling, I was in England, and I had fish and chips for dinner.
Yes.
And they don't use tartar sauce or tomato ketchup or anything like that. They use vinegar, malt vinegar, on their chips. And I thought, well, okay, I'll try that. So I doused them up good and took a bite, and I started coughing. And I couldn't figure out what was going on, so I finished that, took another bite and coughed. Each time I took a bite, I coughed. I finally figured out I'm mildly allergic to vinegar. So as a result, I don't do the vinegar stuff. So
Well, what kind of vinegar were they using?
I'm not sure, but I found the same true here in the States with strong vinegar stuff. Mild is okay, but if it's too much, I don't do well with it.
And that can be understandable. But I started out with Dr. Bragg's
mm-hmm.
apple cider vinegar, and that has the what they call the mother in it, which is the pulp. And you
right.
always have to shake it up. And it took me a while to acclimate to get myself used to it. But if you have a reaction to it, it is different. That's with anything where you have a reaction. So do you hyperventilate? Do you start coughing more? What is it?
Well, it's usually cough, or if I keep at it, my nose will start to run and so on, a regular, normal allergic reaction to it.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder if it's not an allergic reaction, but a cleaning out reaction. Because those are also signs of cleaning out. But you've over the years found out which way it goes, right?
Yep, that's just a little allergy.
Okay.
It's better than it used to be. We do have Mr. Bragg's in the cupboard, a gallon size,
Yeah. It's interesting. You can go into Whole Foods now and have two long aisles of apple cider vinegar with either the mother in it or just, but it's not the white vinegar we used to use on windows, and it's not the totally distilled vinegar you get in the grocery store. They're doing a lot better at making vinegar healthier for us or useful for us. So and I'll tell you, in this hot weather, when you're having really hot weather, you put some apple cider vinegar in your water bottle, and it sounds disgusting, but if you make it kind of like a pale brown, I was saying like tea water, but that kind of may have turned people off, but you do make it a pale brown and drink that during the day, it will keep your blood thinner and cooler. Blood is hot during the summer, and if you're eating a lot of meats and a lot of potatoes and a lot of carbs, other kinds of carbs, your body is creating so much heat that you're overheated, and therefore taking the apple cider vinegar in your water will start cooling your body down. Heat strokes are caused by that. You being out in the sun, first of all, too much, not enough a liquid to get your full body circulating and getting it to perspire, or for the women to have dew on it. And I don't know if that's D-E-W or D-U-E, but that's up to you. And it is important that you keep your body circulating and with plenty of liquid. But the apple cider vinegar in your bottled water, so it's a pale brown, will keep you having a better circulation in the heat. I used to use it all the time out in Los Angeles because when the heat got on, you're in desert heat, and you get really, really, really hot. So I had to learn that kind of a trick when I lived there. Out here in South Carolina, I don't use it as much because I'm either in a car or I'm in some place that's air conditioning. I do not have air conditioning at home. What? Speaking of air conditioning, how many people have the air conditioning on so it's like they're in an ice box and then they go out into the heat? Do any of you have it that way? Because that's really bad for your body. What have you found out?
We seldom need it here in Pennsylvania.
What?
But we seldom need it in Pennsylvania, but this year we've used it for maybe 6 or 7 days. And I keep it set about 75. With dry air, that's plenty cool.
Yeah. Now, can you use the air conditioner, right? Is that what you use, the air conditioner?
Only if it gets up there. If it gets above about 85, gets up to 90, I do. Other than that, I don't.
Okay. Because there's a thing called a swamp cooler when you're out in the desert area. Some of you may live out in the desert area.
Mm-hmm.
And the swamp air conditioner won't really work in the desert. Because, and I'm trying to remember how it goes, desert is so dry that the swamp coolers needed to put the humidity in, where the air conditioner takes the humidity out. Is that correct, Jan? I think that's the way it goes. And please correct me. I've lived in both, and a swamp cooler is great in the desert. I've lived out
there. Yes, you're right on that, Wonder Ann.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Because we hear it's very humid down here in the south, where, and Jan, you must have a lot of humidity to use an AC, but it's important when you're in the desert, you get something that'll give you moisture because you're so dry out there. So,
wonderful in a dry climate.
Yeah. They really are. They keep you nice and cool, and they don't use as much energy, right, Bob? Isn't it better?
It's just a fan that's running, and it's pulling the air through a filter that's wet, that has water dripping through it. So you don't have all of that refrigeration going on.
Correct. I don't use their air conditioning here. It's a little 900-square-foot house, but I have wonderful cross-ventilation. I mean, the two rooms that are opposite each other, the doorway makes it a cross current, and I have that from the kitchen to the other bedroom. And I have a fan in every room. Now, I mean, I put in the two rooms that didn't have fans, but it's an older house that had a center ceiling light bulb. I had a friend who didn't have that, so she couldn't put the ceiling light fan in. She would have had to call an electrician and do all that kind of extra stuff. And she was renting. She wasn't interested in doing that. But this house came with it. So it depends upon your house, how it's laid out. These newer houses, I don't know that they have cross ventilation. Cross ventilation is vital. It's really, really valuable for you. So listen to us. We talked about air. We talked about air conditioning and swamp coolers. Water. As Robert said, it's water. It's a fan going over water. You know you can make your own air conditioner that same way. They even have it on YouTube on how to build it so that you can do it to where it's economical, not the fortune that our energy departments want us to pay. We have to be frugal today. It is very important. So if you have any time savers, but I know I've looked on YouTube and seen the way they've made air conditioning with a bucket and a fan and ice cubes. Hey, if you get 2 or 3 hours in the middle of the day cooled down, you're doing good. My dad used to set up, we had a three-story house. We lived in Chicago. Not on the lake. We lived inland about a half a mile. And so we were kind of stocked in with the heat. So during the day, we kept the shades drawn. As soon as dusk was there, shades went up, windows went open, and up in the attic, he had this huge, gigantic cyclone fan. He had flipped that on, and it would suck the hot air out and pull the cool evening air in. And we never had air conditioning. I do the same thing in this little house here. I have my four windows open. I have a big fan at the one window. I flip it on in the early morning or at the late night to get the cool evening air. We can beat them at their trying to make you penniless by being creative. And the AC is very expensive, and many times it's not healthy for you. Why isn't it healthy? Well, you got to change the filters. You've got to keep always making certain that the moisture is getting out. Well, with the windows open and you're using fans, overhead fans, or even floor fans to keep the air moving, you will survive fine. I have people come in here and say, gee, it's really cool in here. Where's your air conditioning? I don't know. It's all an attitude, too. I've had, how many people have you said, oh, I can't live without my air conditioning? I said, you grew up without it. Why can't you do it today? Like, remember, it's all a viewpoint. It is a viewpoint. None of us have died.
I can see that.
What is that, Dan?
Yep. I can see that most people on the call are youngsters and probably won't remember, but back when I was a kid, we used to have these, you can call them swamp cooler or canvas water bags.
Yeah.
And they would seep a little bit. And in those days, cars had bumpers, real bumpers, steel, with bumper guards on them. And they'd fill up that water bag, hang it on the front bumper guard, and they'd drive along. When they got thirsty, they'd pull off to the side and stop and get a drink. And it'd be nice and cool because it evaporated enough that it kept the bag cool. Now, that worked from maybe South Dakota west across the desert states, you know. Where I lived in Iowa, it didn't work because the air was too humid to actually cool it. But it makes a big difference if you get in a dry state, like 20% humidity or thereabouts, and it worked great. But I haven't seen them much anymore, you know. People get air conditioning in their automobiles, so that keeps their water cool.
That's true. However, what if the AC doesn't work? I have a Volkswagen, the AC doesn't work. I can have the fan going all I want. But that's a great idea to put it on there. I love it. This is wonderful. See how thought-provoking old ideas can give you new ways of functioning for your own self. Very good. When any of you are not feeling well and you're out and getting too much heat, what have you done for yourself in those situations? What have you done to help yourself make it through that heat, that terrific heat? I guess you've all expired, huh? Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, many times, just from what we're talking about, it's how you actually take care of your body that will get you through any of these kinds of heat problems that we've just been talking. I was just wondering if you'd captured any of those ideas when we were talking of them. So, okay, let's see, what else? We've got, what about if you're caught out in heat, a lot of heat, and you're starting to feel dizzy, what do you do? Or what would you do? Come on, some of you know that.
Do I have shade?
You can have shade. But sometimes if you've been out in the sun for a while, you need a little bit more than just the shade.
Do I have water and vinegar?
You may not have those two. But you can.
Then I have a problem.
That's correct. So what do you think you can do?
I don't know. I just sit down and relax under the tree.
There you go. That's the most optimum thing to do because of the fact that your body has to get into shade. You have to let it take its time to rebalance itself. Your body's gotten out of balance, and it's really, really invaluable for you to get it back into balance. And you watch yourself, because this is really an interesting problem that people don't realize can make or break their body. That the body must have the shade and must be taken into consideration that if you get overheated, you need to go in the shade. And then if you don't have drinking thing, but you've got some water there, get something and wrap your head and your neck in the cold water. And if you can, one time we were in the car and we were traveling across Iowa. And I can't remember if I was pregnant or not at the time, but our air conditioner did not work. And so I said, we've got to get it fixed. This isn't going to work. I'm really having problems with this heat, I told my husband. So we pulled into a campground, because that's how we traveled with the five kids, was camping. And they had a pool. And so we fixed dinner. And my husband, it was during the time when the guy was saying, here come the judge. I can't remember who that was. He was a great comedian. And his line was, when you're hot, you're hot, you know. My husband almost wore his dinner. I was so hot. And I was not in a humorous mood, as you might think. And he went and got the car fixed, and I soaked in the pool for over an hour and a half watching the kids, but I was so overheated. It took that long for my temperature to come down. This is very serious for people to be sure they do not get heat stroke. Heat stroke can be very painful and can be very devastating for some people. So I bring it up because it's summertime. In summertime, we tend to forget. My tree man here in Spartanburg, very nice gentleman. He's used to working out in the sun, does a lot of work out in the sun. He almost had heat stroke, and he had a difficult time getting his balance back for being out there in the heat. That's how bad it is. And his job is being out there in the heat. So, you know,
I have seven heat strokes in the military.
Oh, wow. So you have a great, great rapport and respect for them. What did they do in the military?
Well, what it was a casualty in the engineering department, and the equipment was all hot, and we had to shut it down, and down there trying to fix it. When we had some light to where we could see the bilges, it was boiling. That's how hot it was.
Wow.
And several of us passed out that day. And then each time that I had one of the heat strokes, the temperature was lower. And they finally told me if I didn't get out of the engineering department, I would die the next time I had a heat stroke.
Correct. And Robert, with just that issue, this is why it's important to bring it up, because August and into September, we tend to get a lot hotter weather. It's really strange. So it's important, because when you've had heat stroke, Robert, haven't you had a problem with heat after that?
I've always had a problem since then with heat. If it's over 70 or 75 degrees, I'm miserable as heck. I just can't handle it. and that's where I'm at right now. It's in the 90s right now.
Well, I would up your quantity of apple cider vinegar and water and sip that all day long.
That's what I've been doing.
Excellent. And that helps somewhat, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Another thing, go ahead.
Still hot, but I'm not as miserable as I was. I feel better.
Good, because what Robert's doing is thinning down his blood. And also I would suggest, Robert, is to kind of give yourself sponge bath with the apple cider vinegar so that heat will keep coming out of your body. I use
right.
it for flus, but it draws that heat out of your body. It is the best thing to use. And what does a bottle of it cost? $5, $6, $7, $8 now.
Yep.
I mean, it's the least expensive way to give your body a relief.
Yep.
And that's wonderful that you bring that up, Robert, because I got heat stroke when my kids were playing Little League, and I didn't really know what it was. And I got so sick, and I couldn't explain it to anybody. And I don't know, I think it was a southerner or someone who had been in enough heat that sounds like you had a heat stroke. But like you, I don't do well in the heat. I stay out of it, and that's why I have all these fans going, because it keeps the air moving for me. And that's a real help for what I'm doing. So each of us, I don't know what my dog's yipping at. She yips at herself. Sophie. But we're getting closer to the end of the program, and I'd like to hear if anybody's got any new ideas that they've done. I really appreciated Jan and Robert giving feedback, because that's what it's about. It's each of us bringing forth what we've learned, we thought of, we've done, we haven't done. All of them add to your value of what you've learned in your life. Or I got to tell you, the old grandmas and grandpas and that lived on the farms and stuff gave us a lot of ideas. So we learn from each other still. We never stop learning from each other. So I use apple cider vinegar, and I'm scratching my arm at this moment. But I usually, when I walk the dogs, I need to come in and put apple cider vinegar on the mosquito bites that I get from walking the dogs. And if I do that, the itching stops. It just stops. I used to get really bad effects from bad effects. I looked like a swollen melon with poison ivy. And, of course, I always did it up by my eye, so I got the eye and the face all swollen. And people said, that must feel really bad. I said, it does. And someone told me to put it.
I find that by drinking apple cider vinegar, it gets into the bloodstream, and the mosquitoes and fleas don't like it.
Excellent. I'll up my ante, as they say.
I never have a problem with fleas or mosquitoes anymore.
From just drinking it.
Yep.
Excellent. See, that's great to know, because we have a terrible flea epidemic this summer because of a very, very mild winter. And I've been giving catnip to the dogs, and the cat loves it, you know. I think I'm overdosing the dogs because they like to sleep a lot, but I don't know if it's getting rid of the fleas. But they're sure enjoying the catnip. But the I'm glad you're talking about the apple cider vinegar also helping with the fleas. I'll increase mine. I've got to take it more often because these bites are annoying, you know. And it's just from walking the dog, so it's a kick. So
yeah,
we
I
have
can,
a. Go ahead.
I can pet the dogs and scatter fleas everywhere, and you know they get fleas when I go out in the yard and stuff.
Right.
I can see them hopping around here and there. They never bother me. They stay away from me. They don't like my blood.
You've got dirty blood. But what about your dogs? How are they doing with the fleas?
Well, they get flea treatments all the time. But still, they go out in the yard and around here, the fleas love it out in the grass and stuff.
Yes.
Yep. And it's hard to control them.
Isn't that a son of a gun? The fleas just don't like to be controlled. Where was that lesson about how to train a flea is put them in a bottle? Excuse me. I guess
well,
I missed that lesson.
I spread diatomaceous earth in the yard right. Every now and then. That kills them.
That is a great point. I have it here. And have you found it does kill it in the grass for them?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's recommended for yard use.
Yeah, I have diatomaceous. I use it in the house all the time. We attempted to use it on the one house I was moved into. It had fleas in the flooring. So we were having a real bug problem with it. And we used diatomaceous earth all the time. However, I ended up washing these dogs almost every week just to get the fleas under control. It was the only way I was able to do it. So putting it right out in the yard. Of course, as soon as I put it out in the yard, we'd get a rain shower, right? So does
yeah.
it soak? Have you found it gets soaked in and it does any work?
Yeah, when it rains too hard on it, then, yeah, it soaks into the ground and then it's useless.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I was ending up with, too. Dang, nabbit. But at least we were on the right movement, right? Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
you mentioned...
Go ahead.
You mentioned earlier you won't find products that probably say non-GMO, but I ran across some pita chips, which I find very tasty. They're made by Stacy's Pita Chips, and on the front it has a little insignia that says non-GMO Project Verified, and I like them.
Excellent. So, thank you.
I know where to get flavored vodka that says non-GMO.
Flavored
yes.
what?
Vodka.
Flavored vodka.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's are they?
On the label, it says non-GMO.
Excellent. I'm so glad you're bringing that up because I have remembered seeing non-GMO more often. I apologize for saying there wasn't any. I'm glad you're bringing that out. It's very important that people read their labels to just get that. I do remember now I got some ice cream from my son. I said, do you want me to bring something, you know, when he invites me over to the family? He says, get some ice cream. Well, I didn't know what kind they wanted, and they had a special price on there, but I noticed it had non-GMO and another thing that it had in there. I forget what the statement was. So I ended up with you could have four for $10 type thing. So I got all different flavors so everybody had a choice. It was the non-GMO, though, were the only ones I picked. So that there was the choice of what they could have. So Thanks for reminding me. You can tell I'm not a shopper. I just don't shop that much. It makes me. It means that you got to have money in your pocket, right, guys?
Helps. Yep.
That helps. Yeah, you got it. But this is good. Thank you for stepping in and bringing out a lot of good, useful information. Maybe next week we can look at how the water, what it is, what can we do about the water? What kind of water are you drinking? Where does your water come from? Why do you keep drinking it? And
I can tell you good things about water.
Good. Because there are good things about water, and there are bad things about water. So we have to go and get really educated on what is the good thing about water. And go on, just for next week, during the week, go on YouTube and kind of put in your search thing, water tested for, it's water testing, I think might be a good thing. This lady and a gentleman, two different areas of the country, I think, tested water, different types of water. They even tested ice cream, and it was really interesting that they found that some ice cream doesn't even melt in 90-degree weather when it's left outside. So,
well, there's some of the bottled water doesn't freeze when left out in the snow either.
And let's listen to why that is. So bring that information in and do some checking yourself. This is very, very valuable that you do some checking. This isn't, I'll just let them tell me something. No, it's participatory. That's what this whole program with NLA is about. It's your participation that makes things work. And we all need to participate. If you don't know something, Google it. And do it in Start page. If you haven't gotten on the Start page, that's another whole thing. I don't know if you guys have taught people to start using Start page. Start page does not really, they cannot follow you when you Google in Start page. Were you aware of that, you guys?
Yeah, I've used it for years. DuckDuckDo, and there's another one, Jimberoo or something like that. It's also good.
Good. Because this is important if you want to keep some of, as Robert said in the beginning, he was attacked with the virus. We do not want them following us.
Yep.
And so those are parts of you. Those are the psychological health points. So we've got to be physically, psychologically, philosophically, and politically learning what's best for our health. I've got the four of them, guys. So it's really invaluable. But it's time for us to kind of bring it to a close. It's 8:53, and it's time to get on to your next program. So look up water. Check out what water is, what's in it, and who tested the water. These were not companies. These were private people who tested water and put it on a YouTube video so you could really learn what your water is. And you'd be surprised with the water, the pH of the water, et cetera. So it's a good project. Okay, I yield. You guys okay?
All righty. Well, next is the Committee of Safety call. I hope that the people here will go on into it. I'll shut this call down and we'll open up for the Committee of Safety call.
All right.